Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Morning. Books that will never be written. How to grow weeds. How to stop your kids from growing. How to grow tired. How to grow in your addiction. How to grow in your sin. But what if there was a book written that says how to increase or grow in your faith? Would you get it? Six ways we're going to learn to increase or grow in faith. If you would stand up and we'll read the Word of God together. Try to get this so I'm not too. Okay, there we go. We're in Romans chapter 10. Do you have your Bibles? Or those electronic devices that I know you're looking at the Bible and not something else? Starting at verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's pray. Father, we've gathered together to hear your word. We've gathered together, Lord, to grow in our faith, to increase our faith, to understand faith, that we may see you clearer, that we may walk closer to you in a daily fashion. And Lord, that you would use us for your purpose, for your glory, that our lives would be a reflection of our walk with you. So Lord, we ask your blessing upon this time, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Just want to do something here, so I don't forget what that is. The gospel was first presented to the Jew first. Even Jesus told his disciples, first go to the house of Israel. Paul, when he went and preached, he first went to the Jews. He went to the synagogues, and then when they rejected, he went to the Gentiles. But if you see here, he says, how beautiful are the feet. He's actually quoting from Isaiah 52, verse 7. It says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. In verse 16, again, if you see, it says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. That word obeyed means to hear and respond. It means to knock at the door and go see who it is and open it up. Not hide. Not turn off the lights. But actually to open the door. Now, what's interesting about this is, if you will, he's actually quoting, as he says, from Isaiah. Lord, who has believed our report? If you would, just because it is a beautiful part of Scripture, keep your finger here, but go to Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, look at verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him for what had not been told. But had been told them, they shall see, and what they shall not, and what they had not heard, they shall consider. Now he quotes, who has believed our report? Do you know who he's talking about here? He's talking about Jesus. That he was going to be beaten in such a fashion that you wouldn't even see that he was a man, that he was beaten so badly. So see what Paul's doing? He's saying, hey, who will believe our report? The Jews have not. Why? Because he's referring back to this passage. And this passage, if we go on, says this. And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That word arm means strength and might, but the root word means sown. So I want you to keep that in mind. I'm going to use two different metaphors here. One, we're talking about a door being opened, now seed. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness when we shall see him. He didn't look like a rock star, folks. I know that's how a lot of times Hollywood makes him look. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears, it's silent. So he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. Now, Paul is referring to this passage, but if you will, even to this day, Jews will not talk about this passage. Most Jews do not know about that passage. I remember one day, many years ago, that a man that was a salesman for the company that I worked with, my brother's, came in. He was talking. I was out in the shop. And my brother came out and said, hey, Luke, come talk to this guy. I said, why? He's a Jew, but he wants to understand Christianity. So I went in there and I went directly to this passage. He never heard of it before. Because they're not taught this. Why? Because it shows Jesus, points to Jesus. And big red letters, Jesus. But see, they didn't listen and heed. They didn't respond. And still people don't. And still many Jews don't. But the seed was planted. But the door is knocking. And see, you and I, as it says in Revelation 3:20, behold, he stands at the door and knock. And if anyone opens the door, he'll come in and he'll sup with him and have fellowship with him. You and I have responded. We've responded to that gospel message. That's number one in faith, that you must first respond. And I know most of you have. That you've knocked, you've heard the knock, and you opened the door and you let him in. Peter says in his epistle, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, there's that word, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. When you came to Christ, when you opened a door, when you heard the knock, when you responded, it came from hearing the word of God, which we'll talk about in a second, that you responded to the gospel message. But see, here's the beauty of it. A seed was planted in you, in me. It's there. It's growing. Even though you may not understand it. But see, what we want to bring out is, how does that truth become impactful of our lives on a day-to-day basis? Well, look at verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. The second thing it takes is a desire for the Word of God. To desire it. If you will, it waters the seed. It enhances the seed. Peter says it this way in his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Is your faith stagnant? And I know you hear this a lot because it's very, very important for every one of us. Are you in His Word? Step 2. You say, but I don't desire the Word. It says desire. Look, I have found many times in my life that I have not desired to read the Word. But I realized something. It's the best thing for the soul. You heard chicken soup for the soul? Actually, it is the best thing for the soul. But see, the Word of God, what it does is it reveals who God is. Jesus in His prayer said this in chapter 17 of John, I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me. Out of the world they were Yours, You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have known that all things which You have given Me is from You, for I have given to them the words which You have given Me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from You, and they have believed that You sent Me. The Word of God reveals the heart of God. It reveals who God is. I hope that's one of the reasons why you read the Word, because you understand the character of God. You also understand His motives. Oh, we can't fully understand everything if He's God. But one thing we continually talk about is God's love and grace for us and His mercy. We also learn His truth. So again, it's desiring the Word of God to learn who God is. To learn His heart, that He's for you, not against you, that God is good and it's all the time, like we say. See, to enhance and help that to grow is to be in the Word. To understand who God is to pray, Lord, give me a desire for His Word. But it's also something else, and we find it actually in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, a very familiar verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. See, it's knocking at the door to open, it's responding, letting that seed plant, but it's also desiring then the Word of God, but it's also taking God for who He is. As we learn who God is, then we take that Word as the truth. That what God has said, He has declared, He does not lie. So what He's promised is for you, and all the promises of divinity He has given to you, not to be divine like God, that's not what I meant, but the character of God in you being pure and holy. That God wants to do a work in each of us, and that seed has been planted. So desiring the Word is also coming before God and saying, this is the God who loves me and wants best for me, no matter what's going on in my life. This is the God I could put my trust in. Which brings us to number 4. Trials. Trials help you grow in your faith. In this you greatly rejoice, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you find yourself going through trials, struggles? Marriage problems, money problems, career problems, children problems, Nation problems, economy problems, problems. Wherever you go, wherever you turn, there's problems. Could it be that God is testing you to see if your faith is genuinely on Him and not on the circumstances? Not on what you perceive, what's happening in the world, but God tells us continually, look, know who I am, know I'm for you, keep your eyes on me. Centered on me. Trusting and believing that He is the God who is in the Word that we're learning about, that He's the God that is faithful. But no matter what struggles and trials we go to, could it be that God has something so much more for us, that He's trying to help us grow? Can you rejoice in your trials? Knowing that God sees it, God knows about it, and God's working it through for His glory and His purpose. Did I mention God's good? Did I mention that God loves you so much that nothing can separate you from Him? Trials. Trials is the workplace of God's Spirit in your life and in my life. That we would put our eyes upon Him, trust in who He is and His character, desiring only to know His truth and believe in His Word. Now, going back again, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. That word hearing means intent, an intent to act upon what is heard, to hearken, to listen, and to obey. What? It says the Word of God, but actually it's preferred the Word of Christ. In Luke's Gospel, His disciples came up to Him and said, Lord, increase our faith. Do you ever feel like that's the prayer you want? You want to look at Jesus and say, increase my faith. Maybe you woke up this morning and your kids were acting up and you're going, oh Lord, increase my faith. Maybe the bill came Saturday and you go, oh Lord, increase my faith. Well, that's what the disciples asked Jesus. Listen to His response. If you have faith as a mustard seed, stop. What was planted in your heart? Metaphorically, a seed. If you have faith as mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now it's very interesting because now He goes into something. Listen. And which of you having a servant plowing or tending sheep will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? Or will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk? And afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? Think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants, and we have done what was our duty to do. So to increase our faith is basically what He's telling us to do is to obey me. When I tell you to pray for the mulberry tree to be pulled out by its roots and cast into the sea, it'll happen. But are you my servant? See, we've accepted Him as Savior, but it's a continual day-to-day event. Do we accept Him as Lord? For faith to grow, we must obey what we read. We must obey what we learn. We must obey His voice. So many times, like we get gathered here and we're all guilty of this. We come in here, we start reading the Word of God together, or maybe you're reading in the morning. And it's something that you can apply, that I can apply, but do we do it? And then we wonder why God doesn't speak to us, or why God doesn't increase our whatever, our resources, or our ability to serve, our ability to give, our ability to anything in the faith. When it really comes down to, are we obeying Him? Are we listening to Him? Are we doing exactly what He desires? Remember Paul when he went to Damascus and he had the letters and he was going to throw some people in church from the church into prison, want some killed. And then he had a vision, right? The Lord said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting me. And then you know what he said? He said, what would you have me to do, Lord? Isn't that amazing? Paul instantly hears him and says, okay, what do you want me to do? Then we sit here and we go, wow, is my faith really being increased? The simple thing is are we listening and obeying? James says, if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. God is trying to teach us to grow up. Each one of us. God's not hiding. God just desires for us to stop looking again at what we want and submit unto His will. In Mark, Jesus said, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Sometimes, you know, especially in ministry and stuff, we wonder why things aren't happening. And the truth of the matter is a lot of times it's because the Lord not only testing us through trials, but also to see if we'll do and be faithful what He's given us to do. Some of it's just a simple fact. Are we teaching our children? Are we loving on them? Are we preaching the gospel to them? But are we also obeying the gospel that we teach? So we're those examples to our children. As what little is given in obedience and faithful to that, then more is given. That's why we can look at some men and be amazed at the faithfulness that God has given them to do. But it's not for all of us to be, if you will, in the front line. For other people to see. Because if we really take it to heart, the one that we are trying to please is the one that sees all things. And the little things is what He desires for obedience more than anything. So we see something, it's been, the door has been knocked. So now that permeating of the gospel message now comes into our hearts that we desire to know more about Him. Desiring His word and what He desires of us. Believing that what we need each day, that He is faithful to provide for us each day what we need. Not necessarily what I want, but what I need. But when I hear what I'm supposed to do, matter what the circumstances is, do I obey? If we're praying for bread and He asks us to go give the five, 10 cents. I remember when I was a kid, they'd have the 10 cents on the little Wonder Bread, white loaf of bread, right? I don't think you can buy even a half a slice for that now. But the point is this. When you need something and He tells you to go do something, do we do it or do we say, no, mine, I need this? Or do we just obey? It's kind of like, if you will, when Elijah went to the woman, the widow that was about ready to make her last bread for her child, her children. And he said, go make it for me and you'll have plenty. And she obeyed. And she had plenty. Now, please don't misunderstand me. This isn't about casting your bread upon the water in the sense of give the Lord $10 and He'll give you $100. This isn't the investment that we're talking about here. We're talking about the investment of your obedience to the Lord. We're talking about your faith in Him. My faith in Him, of giving what He asks, even though it makes no sense. Because we know that He will provide. Why? Because we're learning about His character. And the other thing that we've talked about is that God is good all the time. God's interest in us is, how can I measure His thoughts toward me, David said. They're more than the sands of the sea. Think about that. I mean, I think of myself and I'm sometimes, you know, focused on one thing. There could be a thousand things happening around me, but I have to focus on this one thing. We think that's where God is. God's focused all the time. Focused on whoever. Probably Mark. He's always thinking about Mark. He's thinking that Mark, I got to get him through another day. Everybody else is falling off the cliff. I have to focus on Mark. When's Mark going to get in line? That's the way we think about God sometimes. But the truth and reality is that God is always thinking about us. Did I mention that God is good? Please understand something. I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself too. That's the benefit I have as a preacher. Not that I get to tell you what to do, but the Spirit says, hey, are you listening to what you're saying? Because see, we're all in this together. Why? Because we're still on this planet. And God's teaching all of us to learn, to grow, to obey. Some of the benefits of His Word. In John 17, verses 16 and 17, says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, Jesus said. Sanctify them or set them apart. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. See, what Jesus desires for all of us is to be separated from the pain, not of the infliction of the world, but the injustice of the world, the sin of the world. He wants us to be separated for unto Him. That He's marked each one of us and He says, you are mine. It doesn't mean to isolate. So I know a lot of people think that's what it means as a Christian. You isolate yourself with just Christians. That's not what He's speaking of here. What He means is, again, the world's culture. The way the world interacts with itself. We're different. We're marked. We understand who God is. And God desires for us to walk with Him. To trust Him. To believe that what He's doing is good. In our lives especially. So He tells us, you are to be separated. My word helps you be separated from this world. In Ephesians 5:26, He says that Jesus, or Paul saying that He might, Jesus, sanctify and cleanse her bride, His church, with the washing of water by the word. It's to remove the cleansing. It's to purify. It's to purify us. It's to cleanse us from our sins. And that's a day-to-day basis. To be separated but also clean. Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. Why just the feet? Because He says, you're all clean, but you're walking on this earth, your feet are going to get dirty. You're going to sin. John tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. The eyes of the Lord, it says in Psalms, wait for all those who are bowed down that He may lift them up. A wise man falls seven times, but seven times he gets back up again. Why? Because this is the answer to life. You responded and so did I. It's to live in that response. Desiring His word. Believing that He is the God that is good. That He's worth obeying. He's worth being in His word. His word separates me from this world. His word cleanses me and gets me in the right thinking, in my right mind of who God is. God's in control. Even everything that's happening around us in the world today. That prophecy teaches us that God has this under control. No matter what you're fearful of. Maybe it's that you're fearful for your children. God says, I got your children. Now let me get you. Let me have you. We understand that the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is discerner and thoughts and intents of our hearts. Now, I don't want to step on any toes, so don't misunderstand. Don't go somewhere that I'm not going, but let's just be factual here for a second. You're struggling with who you are, the identity of who you are. You're struggling with a sin. Are you struggling with confusion of how to think, how you feel? What it's saying here in Hebrews is the Word of God divides all that, separates it and shows you and reveals it. So you can see the ugliness and the beauty. That you can see the pain and the joy. You can see the sorrow and peace. And you can see the power of God's hand in your life, in my life. And He says to each of us, come, let us reason together, you and I. Let's talk about your problems. But don't wait for a heavy, long counseling, because ultimately He'll say, now focus on me. I made you. And I told you, when you come home with me, you will be perfect. This faith is trust, isn't it? Through the trials and the tribulations, through everything that we go through, now here's the thing that most of us shy away from. It's number 6. Share your faith. How beautiful. Did we read that? We didn't read. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. See, as you learn God about God, as you learn about His goodness, as you learn about His sacrifice, as you learn what He desires to do in and through you, as you learn about your future, as you learn about the peace that God has with you, as you learn about the joy that He wants to fill you with, as you learn these things, then something happens. See, the cup starts filling up abundantly. Life becomes flowing out of you. The Spirit takes what He's teaching you, and if you allow Him to, He flows it out of you for others to be splashed with His Spirit, splashed with His truth, splashed with the light that He is shining through you. And naturally, you open your mouth. But see, we say, a lot of us, don't we? I'm hearing what He says, but right there we'll stop because I'm just not that kind of person. I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. Jesus only deals with fanatics. Faith grows from fanaticism. Oh, not to go, now don't misunderstand. It's not like going around and now you got to be this weirdo and, you know, strange guy, you know, somebody that sticks out like a sore thumb. What's that guy over there trying to walk on the water for? He keeps drowning. Not like anything dumb like that. Not naming, claiming, not going around saying you're going to hell. Not that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those that desire Him. I'm talking about those that are responded, those that have found their faith and trust in Him, that desire to obey Him, that learn that the trials and the tribulations of life is for His purposes, that He's testing and He's causing us to grow in Him. So then those, He says, now you are letting me work in and through you because you are trusting in me. Your fanaticism is on me. Your eyes are on me. You're focused on me, not you, on me. So in doing so now, let me share me through you to others. Of just being His. Sharing your faith. Now, what does that look like? Does it mean standing on a corner? Unless the Lord calls you to that. I don't know too many people that are called to that. And trust me, I've been to some major cities and I've seen those guys that are standing on the corner. And I would say 99% of them shouldn't be there. No. It could be. Does it mean sharing your faith wherever you go? If you have that personality and you're open? Yes. But more than anything, it's just being open to God's Spirit. of starting to go place and say, Lord, if there's somebody here that you want me to share with, then you open the door and I'll share it. But you have to give me the words to say. And listen to the person in front of you, or the person behind you in line that's griping about how slow this line is. And patient. And then you're able to share something with them, or just talk to them, to listen to them. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you, the Lord never called you to that. Maybe it's just that you are the one, and I know so many of you are, and you don't think that this has anything to do with sharing your faith, but it does. Just letting the light shine by being a good neighbor, by being a nice person, by always being there, helping them out when they need something. By lending things to people, even though you know you're not going to get them back. It's just letting your light shine. Letting His light shine through you. But it's sharing your faith. 1 Peter 1:22 says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the spirit and sincere love of brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. As you are desiring the Word, and as you're learning about Him, as you see about His love, that nothing can separate you from Him, that you see that His love is as vast as the skies, that you can't measure it, as you see that His love is an infinite love, a perfect love, as you see that His love never fails, that it bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things, that love is pointed to you, that all the love of God is on you. It's immeasurable. You, no, don't look around and say, no, it's got to be Travis back there. No, it's not just Travis. It's you. Can you just say that in your heart right now? Just say, God loves me with an infinite love no matter what I've done, even this day. His love for me is infinite. And He's begging us, if you will, beseeching us to just accept His love. So that you in turn can love others. We so desire for God's Spirit to move right now in the church. And we do desperately need God's Spirit to move. But again, let me share with you a great evidence of God's Spirit moving through His people and through His church is that they have love one towards another. Not like you see on the social media where Christians are crucifying each other. What a kind of a witness is that? I'm not talking about doctrinal issues. I'm just talking about certain choices that people make in light of the gospel and somebody doesn't agree with it. It saddens my heart. But see, we're here about this church, and this church is always going to stay on the same premise. It's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will in turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9:10, he says, now may he who supplies the seed to the sower, bread for food, supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The seed, the word of God that God is implanting in you that you are sharing with other people. That, my friends, is how the church grew mightily. In fact, Acts 19, verse 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. God's word is truth. It shall come to pass. because the faithfulness of God, and God has said, everything in my word will come to pass. Not one cross of the T, not one dot of the I. It'll all come to pass. I stake my name upon it. Word of God. So the Hebrew writer says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And then Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Ah, I kept the best for last. See, it's not just about you growing. The seed's not going to be pulled out of you. Why? Because, see, the author and the finisher of your faith, it's going to come to germinate and it's going to come to bloom. It's going to come to pass. Because he declares it. Remember, he doesn't lie. But see, it's a matter again for us and you and I, together as a body, but also individually. You as a family. To focus on the author. Focus on the shepherd. To focus on the Savior. To focus on the King. The focus of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. The keeper of your faith. The author and the finisher, who says, now grow in me, learn about me, walk with me, talk with me, desire my word, understand that when you go through trials, I will walk through the valley of shadow of death with you. That when you share your faith, if you let me, I will share it through you. If you just open your heart and just listen. Don't focus just on your problems, on the struggles that you're going through. I have those. But when you come to pray to me, believe that I'm hearing you and that I will receive what you're saying. That I will give you what you need. What do I ask of you? Obedience. Just follow me. Follow me. So how do we make our faith grow? First of all, respond to him. Second of all, desire his word. Learn about him, that he reveals himself. Three, believe that he is the God who he is in his word. That he is all that and so much more. Don't be just a hearer of the word, be a doer of the word. Pray that God gives you the courage to obey. Yes, you're going to go through trials and tribulations, but learn that God, even through these things, is testing you to help you to strengthen your faith in him. Share your faith. Share it with others. Be open to whoever, whomever, whenever God wants you to share. And if you will, I think that one is the toughest one, especially here. Because we feel like nobody wants to hear. We're afraid that they'll react in a way that's mean and not very nice. They may say some bad words to us. But Jesus says, they're not persecuting you, they're persecuting me. Remember, I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm just asking all of us to be followers. Continue to be faithful in this ministry, teaching the word, of worshiping the true and living God, obeying his voice, teaching the children, being the light and the salt that each of us have been called to be in this dark world. Father, we just thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord, the knife, I should say the sword was swung. It's hit each of us. Lord, I pray not for a conviction of guilt, but a conviction of, Lord, duty. Of understanding that each one of us are called to be light and salt in this world. But we understand our faith needs increase. We must grow in it. Our eyes must be clear in a vision of who you are, seeing you as who you are, what you've done, what you're doing through us, and what you're going to do. That you're always at work and your thoughts towards us are endless. That your desire for each of us is to grow in faith, to grow in the knowledge of who you are. Or as the acronym that said in faith, faith is active in trusting Him. Let us be a body that is true too, but let us also be individuals. That your light would shine through in this dark world. That our courage and our trust would be in you, not in ourselves, not in our abilities, not in the lack of them, but in you. So again, I pray, Father, increase our faith. And the reality is just to look at Him who is the gardener, who causes the growth. Let our eyes be fixed upon you, the author and the finisher. But help us to be obedient in what you tell us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.